Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and today we're talking risk versus reward. Perhaps the most important conversation to have when it comes to fantasy football, because we all want to finish first, and sometimes you got to be a little bold. Fortune favors the bold. That's what I learned in John Wick, I believe. And I'm telling you right now, some of these players are worth investing in, and others, maybe not so much. So we're going to break them down. We're going to talk running backs, wide receivers, a tight end, and some QBs to help me do it is D-Bro, Derek Brown, the King of Bros. You know him from the podcast, as always. And let's just jump headfirst right into it and talk about some of these players. Let's start here with a running back that I know is one that is already divisive. It's Breece Hall of the New York Jets. Breece Hall went on a hell of a run, D-Bro, last year. Everything was coming up roses until the injury, and now the ACL put him back. We're going to hope that he comes back healthy this season. The question is when and how healthy will he be? Last year, there were some questions with some of these running backs, D. You had J.K. Dobbins. You had Gus Edwards coming off ACL tears. They did not look great in the early going. So Breece Hall currently, as we're looking at him, half-point PPR rankings over on FantasyPros.com. He is RB11. How do you feel about the risk versus reward? Are you taking the risk on Breece Hall?
Joe, I think if I'm going to vacuum this and just wrap it all nice and neat in a bow, yes, I'm willing to sit here and take the risk on Breece Hall, because this is a guy, if you want to talk about last year and the small sample size we got, Joe, he was top three in every efficiency metric that I care about. PFF elusive rating, yards after contact per attempt, breakaway percentage, and glory be with Aaron Rodgers. We're expecting somewhat competent quarterback.
It can only be the greatest offense in the history of the NFL. I think we can all agree now. Like, that's what it is, right?
I mean, that's what the Jets are hoping. And it's, if nothing else, I mean, come on. It gives me hope for Breece Hall just blowing the top off of his ADP this year and really having a banner season, despite the ACL concerns.
I struggle with this one a little bit because I love Breece Hall, the player. I like the landing spot, all Jet jokes aside. I'll try not to make any more. No promises the rest of the show.
Yeah.
But when you're going around the same spot as Ramondre Stevenson and Najee Harris,
yep,
that's where I struggle with Breece Hall, because I know those guys are healthy right now going into the season as of right now of us recording this. So to me, it's too risky. Like, I want him to be my RB2, and maybe he could be as time goes on, but I only feel like this ADP is going to get a little higher as we get closer and closer and people get more and more excited. So that's where I struggle. So D's ready to go jump in the pool with 2 feet when it comes to Breece Hall. I am not. I'm going to stay outside of the pool, just dip my toes if the water is the right temperature, which I doubt it's going to be. It's going to be frigid. Let's get to another running back here. Let's talk about Ken Walker. Now, this situation in Seattle got a little muddy after the draft. We have Charbonnet there now, who projects like a three-down back. We have Kenneth Walker, who we thought was going to be the lead guy. Now, not so much. When you're looking at Ken Walker's ADP and his ECR over at FantasyPros.com, Walker's going at RB14. So interesting spot here for him. We're kind of hedging. I don't know if this is going to go up. It feels like it's going to go down. But Derek, talk to me about Kenneth Walker. Are you ready to take a risk on him?
No.
You want to talk about the kiddie pool? I want nothing to do with this.
That's the riskiest place of all. The kiddie pool is extremely risky. That place is full of germs, the horrible, horrible things.
I mean, that's kind of like what Ken Walker is right now. Like, the pool is full of pee. We're not sure if we need to step into it or to take a bath after we leave the pool. It's bad, man. And his ADP is dipping a little bit. Like, he's down to He's down to RB12. Like, did nobody see that Zach Charbonnet was drafted to Seattle? Taking Ken Walker as an RB1 is lunacy to me. Like, I don't understand that at all. It's like people just pretended like the Charbonnet pick never happened. Seattle last year was 22nd rushing attempts. We're talking about a team that was top 12 in neutral passing rate. And they added, they added Charbonnet. They also added JSN in the first round. So are they going to pass less? I just don't see where people are coming from with this. Like, after Walker took over as the starter last year, he had 100% of the carries inside the 5-yard line. There is no way, Joe, that you could tie him into that type of opportunity, that he has that stranglehold on these high value touches this year. No, I am out on Ken Walker. Walker feels like you go to the pool in the middle of the summer and you're like, I haven't really gotten a lot of exposure in drafts or to the sun. I'm just going to go with no sunscreen and just bake. That's exactly how he feels, just inviting sunburn and pain.
Well, despite my olive complexion, I would also not go out in the sun here for Ken Walker. I will not do that. And I never burn. I go out there, I'm tan 20 minutes for the rest of the summer. It's a beautiful thing.
20 minutes and I look like a lobster.
Yes, you do.
It's bad.
Yes, I can attest to this. But the you look at the current FFPC range for him, he is going at 212, as we're talking about. And that is tough because that's a big investment still. I expect that to fall. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, that's the Fantasy Pros Championship, the FFPC that we're running this year. So if you want to go ahead and enter that, we want you to. So go and do it right now, fantasypros.com. And you could go to fantasypros.com/championship in order to go ahead and get involved in that. And it's pretty amazing because you're giving away $1 million. Can you believe that, Derek Brown? $1 million for playing fantasy football? Unbelievable. Use that promo code Fantasy Pros too when you sign up. You get $25 off that opportunity to go ahead and play in the Fantasy Pros Championship. Now, when we're going to another running back here, I want to talk about Travis Etienne, because this is a player where we've seen flashes from Travis Etienne. We've seen opportunities for him obviously increase last year. Tank is there now too, so I don't know if that muddies the water for you, but Travis Etienne currently in that same Fantasy Pros Championship ADP, you're talking about RB14. That seems reasonable, but is it too risky?
It's way too risky. I mean, we just talked about Ken Walker. Him and Travis Etienne are the Spider-Man gift this year, Joe. Like, and people are understanding it. Well, I say that I hope they understand it. Apparently ADP doesn't with Charbonnet, but people are doing the same thing. They're just looking and glossing over the fact that Tank arrived to this team in the third round. That's significant draft capital. And it's like, what story are you telling yourself by drafting Travis Etienne? So over the last 3 or 4 days, he's dropped to RB15. He's in the middle of the third round, right after Najee Harris, right around where Aaron Jones is going. Like, give me both of those players over Travis Etienne, because what story are you telling yourself with Travis Etienne? It's like, okay, well, he's supposed to be a pass-catching back. He didn't even sniff an 8% target share last year, but apparently we're just overlooking that. It's like, well, he was good in college, so supposedly, but he didn't get targets last year. Now we have Tank in-house. Do we really think that Travis Etienne, can we just sew him in to all the early down work we saw last year? That type of snap share, the red zone attempts. I can't. So, I'm out, man. Give me wide receivers or give me these other running backs, like, in these same spots with Etienne. I'm out.
Well, I look at Tank Bigsby, you know, that ADP is so far down the trough. Like, that's when you start throwing darts at guys, and Etienne's missed some time already early in his career, had some injury issues last year too, missed his entire rookie season. He's going higher right now in the ECR in terms of rank over fantasypros.com. He is going higher than Breece Hall even, which to me is crazy. He's at 10 in half PPR, which that's just way too risky for me. I'm with you. I'm out right now at that cost. If it gets better, I'm listening, but I'm looking at taking shots on guys like Damian Pierce you know, at 19 as a much better situation potentially. As we continue to look at the running backs, let's talk about another one here. J.K. Dobbins of the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Dobbins last year, the stop and start was tough. You know, people were very excited. Ravens liked to run the football. I know it's a different offensive coordinator. I don't know how different of a philosophy it's going to be. We're going to find that out. So there's a little unknown, which is risk. There's the risk of, you know, the fact that he did stop and start last year coming off the ACL injury. There is reward because he had that four-game stretch where he had three or four games over 90 yards, two over 120. Do you think that J.K. Dobbins at his current ADP early on, when we're looking at where he's going off the board at the 17th running back, do you think that's too risky or is that a good reward at that number?
Oh, no. Give me all the J.K. Dobbins I could possibly handle. I want all of it. Give it to me. Give it to me now. J.K. Dobbins is at a great spot, Joe, because people are drafting J.K. Dobbins like they have in previous seasons. Like, it's the same offense. Mm-hmm. The same things are going to happen. He's going to split carries with Gus Edwards and maybe Justice Hill and all these other schlubs on this depth chart. I don't see that happening, man. It's not going to happen. You look at Todd Monken over the last 2 years as an offensive coordinator. He fed top 10 opportunity shares to, yes, Nick Chubb was one of those, 73% of the opportunities in Cleveland, but also Peyton Barber is in that mix as well, man. He got 68% of the opportunities in for the Buccaneers that year. Todd Monken is going to give J.K. Dobbins more of this backfield. And you were talking about a guy that when we have seen him healthy, somewhat healthy, on the NFL field, he has been one of the most elusive running backs in the NFL in his two seasons, 20th and 8th in yards after contact per attempt. Now you're telling me he could sniff upwards of 60% opportunity share in an offense that also with Monken. Three of his last 4 years as an offensive coordinator, top 12 in neutral script pace. So even if they don't pass more, Greg Roman and his antiquated ways are gone. We're going to look at more play volume, and he could own more of this backfield, and none of that is being equated into his ADP. Give me all.
Well, look, and with some competent receiver play for once.
Yes, sir.
That also opens things up, you know, because that's the whole thing. It's like they've become so predictable the last couple of years. It's easy to defend the Ravens because you got to know what they're doing. Now, all of a sudden, if Odell can play, if Zay Jones looks like he is going, looks like he's going to be something, then all of a sudden you've got some real opportunity there where you can open up this offense and make it easier for J.K. Dobbins. I'm going to tell you this, too. Maybe this is a hot take. I don't know. But I can see Jahmyr Gibbs, Damian Pierce. I could see Joe Mixon as time goes on. All of those guys starting to go ahead of him as we get deeper into draft season. And
Akers will hop him too.
Yeah, and J.K. is going to continue to slide down that trough. You watch. And that's when he really becomes a good reward risk player. And I'm going to go on the reward side with you on Dobbins. All right, one more RB I want to talk about. Because every year it's the inevitable discussion of this is the end of Dalvin Cook. And I feel like every year we talk about this, and every year we get more and more concerned. And to be honest, you know, in 2019, he was RB3 in half PPR. In 2020, he was RB2. 2021, obviously, he missed a couple games there, so just 13 games played, he was RB15. But RB8 last year, I'm always trying to be ahead of the curve. I'm always worried about guys who've been in the league 5-6 years at this position, and that's where we're at right now when it comes to Dalvin Cook. But they didn't trade him. It's still a very good offense. Do you think Dalvin Cook, at the discount you're getting him again this year, is once again going to return better than the investment?
No, I'm out on Dalvin Cook. And I have been a very big proponent of Dalvin Cook over the last few years. I've loved his talent, loved his skill set. But we're looking at, you're talking about the age cliff, Joe. And even if we want to sit here and run the rumor mill here and talk about, okay, what if he goes to South Beach? He goes to Miami. I don't look at that as being a better thing for him. If anything, his volume goes down. But let's talk about the Vikings. Let's just talk about Dalvin Cook, the player, in the sense that everything is screaming to me that the age cliff is coming or it's already here and I'm out, man. Like, over his final seven games last year, he only had one game where he logged over 3.0 yards after contact per attempt. He had his second lowest breakaway percentage of his entire career and the lowest yards per route run of his entire career. All of this screams that if he's not at the cliff, he's driving even closer to it and peering over the side and saying, you know what? It might not be too bad down there. And I don't want any part of that for Dalvin Cook. Like, you look at where he's going in drafts right now, and I'm looking at FFPC Fantasy Pros ADP. Mm-hmm. Give me Aaron Jones in the same round. Give me J.K. Dobbins a round after. Hell, dude, give me Damian Pierce or Cam Akers in the sixth round, two rounds after Dalvin Cook. I'll go with both of those guys over Dalvin Cook easily.
I'm not easily on this one. To me, okay, this is tougher because Aaron Jones doesn't have... Well, I'll tell you why. Look, you know me. I was the guy who was out on Zeke earlier. I was mm-hmm. always trying to... Yep. I'm with you. I'm steering with you in that car. I'm taking the wheel with you, and we're trying to get back on the road. However, in this grouping of running backs, Aaron Jones doesn't have Aaron Rodgers anymore, and I don't know what this offense is going to be in terms of scoring opportunities, so that's going to change the dynamic of Jones. Mm-hmm. J.K. Dobbins, again, I'm with you. I like where things are going, but Dalvin Cook's been there, done that many times. Pierce, I also think, is on his way up. That's an arrow going up, but hasn't done it yet. Jahmyr Gibbs is a rookie. Akers, again, maybe Sean McVay likes him today, maybe not tomorrow. If I'm going to be down here in the dirty water with these guys, at least Dalvin Cook, to me, you know, that boat has less holes in it. Like, I know I've seen that boat get to shore more than one occasion. So that's not the greatest metaphor, but hey, I'm doing the best I can. Now, if you want some breakdowns of these players, we're talking about just obviously 2023 redraft leagues. But if you want like the long-term look at these guys, Fitz and Bogman are doing a terrific job of looking at these players on the Dynasty podcast, which is on the same feed here at Fantasy Pros on our YouTube channel. You can go listen to the podcast wherever you get your pods to. But the Dynasty Football podcast, the long-term and short-term value of these guys too, from that perspective, is fascinating. And I know they're breaking those guys down quite a bit. Go check it out. The wide receivers. Let's talk about an old man like you and me, Keenan Allen. This is a wide receiver coming off an injury-plagued season, but was productive when he was there. Mike Williams is never there. So as long as Keenan Allen is there, I feel like this is a good reward with a guy that annually feels underappreciated, undervalued. Do you get that same sense where there's risk with Keenan Allen because of the age, because of the injuries last year, but the reward is so solid at the ADP that he's currently going at? Because you're looking at it right now, and he's the 18th wide receiver in ECR in Fantasy Pros.
I don't understand. Do people think that Keenan Allen's going to retire midseason? And I don't really get it, Joe.
He might have retired last season.
I mean, seriously. Dude, even if you want to talk about this being recency bias, okay, fine. Let's go to the most recent sample that we have out of Keenan Allen from weeks 12 through 18. Top 10 in PFF receiving grade, top 20 in yards per route run, top 15 in target share and targets per route run. What are we doing here, people? You're getting Keenan Allen as a wide receiver two, and in many spots, a low-end wide receiver two. That is insane value that I'm just going to pull out the biggest spoon, and I'm going to look like Zeke with the cereal bowl and just go to town, baby. Mm. Like, this is awesome. Because now you have Kellen Moore is in town. This offense is going to have higher pace, higher passing rate. Justin Herbert's going to get back to throwing down the field. And yeah, we got concerns about Mike Williams. I would sit here and say it's a healthier bet to sit here and make the bet that Keenan Allen can stay healthy and on the field than ever for Mike Williams. Keenan Allen is a low-end wide receiver too. If he's healthy, he's a high-end wide receiver one. He is going to, I mean, he's going to get close to touching 100 receptions this year. I'm going to be gobbling up all this value as long as it presents itself. This is insane to me.
I'm with you. I'm in. I think it's a bounce back year for Herbert. I actually bought him in Dynasty real cheap, actually, just a week ago, where I got him for a third round 2024 pick, and I'm a win now team right now in that Dynasty league. So he could be had out there. But in terms of the investment, again, it's got so much upside and doesn't feel like a lot of risk. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's the same spot as a couple other guys we're going to talk about who are in the same range. Debo Samuel is not in this range, but the next two guys we're going to talk about are. But let's go up the board a little bit to Debo, because that's a little bit higher. He's above Keenan Allen. But again, similar range. He is the 17th wide receiver. Now, we all thought there would be some regression based off of how amazing 2021 was, where he's wide receiver three and halfway in PPR. Last year, he finished as wide receiver 32. Yes, there were injuries. Yes, he missed some time. But also, the quarterback play drop-off certainly had a lot to do with it also. And, you know, they did acquire some guy named Christian McCaffrey. So with that being said, is this current cost of Debo Samuel as we enter these conversations too risky?
This current cost makes no sense. Again, I feel like people are blindfolding themselves and saying, oh, these things didn't happen. This didn't happen. These are all fictitious. You know, Keenan Allen was not healthy. All these running backs have no risk. Oh, look at Debo. He's still the same guy that blew the top off, not last year, but the year before. He's not. He lost that role. Like, his ADOT went back into the tank, people. You're talking about a guy that, and I'm not even talking about the CMC stuff. Because I looked at the splits for CMC without CMC. His target share was almost identical. His targets per route run were almost identical. Like, both of them were 27% with CMC, without CMC, with a fully healthy Debo. But if you look at the high leverage stuff, and it's gone, Joe. His deep targets went from almost one a game to 0.4. So he's not getting deep shots down the field. His red zone targets in 8 games with Christian McCaffrey, he only got 4. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about a run-heavy team and a wide receiver that's not getting deep looks, and he's not getting red zone looks. So he's an empty PPR machine on a run-heavy team, and we're saying, yeah, we want to take that jump before Keenan Allen, before some of these other wide receivers, before Calvin Ridley. No, I'm not doing that. I'm staying far away from Debo. There's no
way. Well, look, Keenan Allen's right next door, and I want to go over his house and have some coffee and cakes. Yes. Like, that's where I'm going. Like,
yeah, let's party at Keenan Allen's house. Let's party at Calvin Ridley's.
Well, I understand Keenan Allen's older and coming off an injury, but Debo also is a guy who's been injury plagued throughout his career, so we could also bring that into the equation if we're going to be fair and honest. But I think of the same look back-to-back, basically. Give me Keenan Allen, because I think it's a more consistent weekly basis of what I'm getting, and I like that. And I think he's got high floor some weeks, too. It's not that Debo is not a guy I want, but at that ADP, I think it's tricky. What about DJ Moore, who's going right after Keenan Allen? It's funny, because these guys are right in this cluster together that we're talking about here, and they all have a fair amount of risk. The risk with DJ Moore is it's a new scenario. We've never seen him with Justin Fields. We've never seen him in this offense. Maybe everything gels right away, but I think all of us have a lot of rug burn last year from the Denver Broncos situation, all the different shares of all different players. So we know what can go wrong. What can go right for DJ Moore, and is it worth investing in at the current ADP?
I'm so divided on DJ Moore. Like, I have so many feels, because I love the player. I love the talent. I will take shots on DJ Moore in some drafts, more along the lines of the ones where maybe I pair him with Justin Fields. In a vacuum, Joe, I'm going to tell you that I'm out. And this all comes down to, I look at DJ Moore's, like, his situation, and I feel like he is going to have to thread the needle to pay off on this ADP. Hell, just to meet it, man. Like, if you look at DJ Moore, yes, over the last 2 years, 28% target share he's averaged. That's fantastic. But we can't just necessarily say that that's going to happen in Chicago for a team that we saw they only threw the ball 377 times last year. Even if you want to craft a narrative to where maybe they get into the 400s, 450 range, and that's a decent jump in passing rate. Maybe it happens, but maybe it doesn't. Even at 450 passing attempts, you're talking about if he garners that same target share, he's in the range of like 120 targets. That's a lot of like what ifs to me, Joe. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'll just rather go down the board. Like, guys that are going in a similar range to where DJ Moore is going right now. Christian Watson. Okay, I'd rather go with him in a round after. Jerry
See, that's
Judy.
A tricky one. Sure. Those guys are so close to me because I like DJ Moore's pedigree a little, like, just a little bit more. Like, I know what I'm getting. I don't know what Jordan Love is going to be here. I still have some faith. Maybe it's misguided in what Justin Fields can become at the NFL level. And I think there's a certain cap of Jordan Love, but I hear you. Like, Watson's that really intriguing guy in that same range. There's no doubt about that. And then I'm in on Moore because outside of Watson, maybe Drake London, who I'm sure you were going to bring up. I can only imagine.
Yep, that was going to be the next name.
I've done enough shows with you to know when the Drake London situation's coming. Tyler Lockett's another guy. Jerry Judy's another guy. Like, there's some numbers there. But I'll tell you what. I think as we get closer to draft season, DJ Moore is going to go behind those guys. And when he does, if he becomes my wide receiver 3, that's when I'm in on DJ Moore. Where do you stand with DeAndre Hopkins, who's the next guy on the list here as we kind of go down? Because he is at wide receiver 20 right now. DJ Moore is at 19 and half point PPR. We all know Hopkins is, you know, borderline Hall of Fame career. He's been incredible. I don't know how much Kyler Murray is going to play this year. I really don't. Like, I'm not investing as though he's going to play at all. That's my take on the situation, because they're going to be bad. And once you're bad, you want that higher pick. So you might as well be healthy. What do you think about Hopkins? Do you think he gets traded? Is he worth the situation right now of where his draft capital is in terms of risk reward?
If you're taking shots on Hopkins, it's only with the hope. For me, it's only with the hope that he gets traded. In the current situation that he's in, I'm with you, Joe. Like, I don't know how much we see Kyler this year. And yeah, like, you could sit here and craft the narrative. Okay, three starts with Colt McCoy. He was wide receiver 12, wide receiver 12. And oh, wait a minute. Wide receiver 30 as well. So small sample size, but like, he drops back into, he is going to be in that scenario, a volume dependent wide receiver 2, which is where he's going. And I have a problem crafting you a good narrative. Like, did Hopkins look like he fell off a map as far as from a talent standpoint last year? No. Wide receiver 9 in fantasy points per game. He was 17th in yards per route run.
Yeah.
But I worry about this offensive situation. Like, this team could be bad, like legitimately bad.
Oh, they could be worse than the NFL bad. It's a bad roster. We all know that. And I'll tell you this. I think when you look at Hopkins, I feel like this is another guy too. He's there now because of the name brand recognition. But then as we start hyping the next guy and this guy and the Drake London, this guy, he's going to slide down. Right now, it's too high for the risk.
Yep.
Agreed. But I think when we get to 24 or 25 with Hopkins, then I'm all ears. I'm listening then. Let's talk about quarterback here. I want to throw two guys at you. Anthony Richardson, who hasn't played a down in the NFL, and Deshaun Watson, who has had several top five quarterback finishes in his fantasy career. So one guy's done it, but looked like a far removed version of himself last year, coming off the suspension, hadn't played football for a very long time. And it showed. He was very slow out of the gate with the football. He was the slowest in the NFL getting rid of the football and making the decisions. That's a problem. It didn't look better as it went. That's what I was hoping for. And then again, Anthony Richardson, which is all glitz and glamour and all of the upside that he could possibly handle, but none of, you know, the actual credibility that we can bank on. So in a single quarterback league, would you take a risk on Deshaun Watson, knowing he's done it before? Or would you go draft a Jared Goff or an Aaron Rodgers and then draft a Richardson for the upside and go that route instead?
Give me all the Anthony Richardson I can handle this year, man. Okay. I want it all
the smoke.
This was the landing spot that we all wanted. He's got Jonathan Taylor. He's got Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce around him. And the thing about Anthony Richardson is his floor, if he runs like we think he's going to run, Joe, and I believe he is going to, he's a top 12 quarterback. I don't think that we get that. Like, out of Watson, you're assuming more risk. And he's going higher. Right now in FFPC, he's going two rounds ahead of Richardson. I'm not going to pay the cost for Watson at that when I can get Anthony Richardson two rounds later. And I look at the floor is higher and the ceiling is comparable. Like, with Anthony Richardson, if he runs, even, and I'm not even talking about him throwing well, I think that he has got the same type of bet as a floor play, but the upside for Richardson is even higher, man. I want the rushing.
I'll throw some numbers at you. Last year, Justin Fields finishes QB5. He threw for just 2,200 yards, but he rushed for 1,000. Is that enough?
That's beautiful to me, man.
That's beautiful, like, to you. You love it. It might be ugly sometimes, but it's going to be pretty from a point total, especially if he gets rushing touchdowns.
It's week winning. On certain weeks, he will win you a week. And I can't say that about Deshaun Watson right now, man. And I know I brought this stat up a few different shows, but for anybody tuning into this, I'll bring it up one more time, man. Anthony Richardson, I look back over the last 9 years, and we had 21 quarterbacks in this sample that finished with less than 4,000 passing yards, but over 500 rushing yards. 85% of those guys were top 12 quarterbacks. 85. 38% of them, 38, were top 5 quarterbacks in fantasy points per game. If you're telling me that's the bet I'm making with Anthony Richardson, I'm loving it. Loving it all day.
Let's talk tight end. Now, last year, we did a lot of shows together, probably about 742 of them. In 740 of them, I told you that Marcus Mariota was going to ruin Kyle Pitts, and he did. He did. But we move on. Now it's Desmond Ridder. I don't know, you know, how much better we're going to, like, all of a sudden think now. But the difference is this year the cost isn't the same. So your Kyle Pitts was the tight end 3 or 4. Right now he's tight end 6. He's just sitting in the middle. Now, we've seen what the reward is, but the question is he worth the risk in 2023 with this offense, with Bijan there now, but a different quarterback with Ritter? I know he didn't show you too much, but what do you think of Kyle Pitts? Is that a business you're going to be in 2023?
This is just a straight bet on talent. And looking at Kyle Pitts, I'll bet on that talent 10 times out of 10. Looking at where he's going, yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow when you look at other ADPs, like when I can get Darren Waller in a lot of sense, like around maybe two rounds after Kyle Pitts. Sure, give me all that sauce. But as far as Kyle Pitts in a vacuum, yeah, man, I'm still buying into it because everybody can talk about how much of a disappointment Kyle Pitts was last year. But the numbers that I care about that still scream he has elite upside at the position is the fact that he dominates versus man coverage. In every single one of these elite tight ends in fantasy, you see this consistently out of these guys. And we saw it from Kyle Pitts last year. He was 13th in yards per route run against man coverage, 8th in PFF receiving grade against man coverage. If you're telling me that he could beat man coverage, he could play on the outside. Look, the quarterback situation still could change. I'm not going to rule out that maybe they trade for Ryan Tannehill at some point or Desmond Midder, which I've been calling him because I'm not a fan of, him at all.
Clever. That's what the kids like to say, mid.
I wish I could sit here and say that I came up with that name. I did not, but I would sure as hell use it when I can. I'm still going to buy into Kyle Pitts, man. It's a bet on talent.
I'll say this. I'll buy at 6 because after 6, you got Darren Waller, who's never on the field.
Oh,
Evan Ingram, who had a nice season last year. So Ingram was good, but then he's got to repeat it. And now Calvin Ridley's back against Muddy. Njoku, Schultz with the Houston Texans. Like, it's rough in the streets, okay? Like, so that to me is exactly what's like. You take the shot on Kyle Pitts because if he doesn't perform well, then you're just hitting the waiver wire. And you're looking because all those other guys are probably going to be interchangeable on the waiver wire anyway. So at least take the shot on him. So to me, that makes a lot of sense. Now, if you want to see how different people have these players that we're talking about that are risk reward ranked, go to fantasybros.com and check out the cheat sheet so you could see D-Bros ranks versus Erickson's versus Friedman's, and you could see all the comparisons, which is a great tool there at fantasybros.com. And of course, we want you to win $1 million. So don't forget, fantasybros.com/championship. That's what you're going to go out there. $1 million first prize. We're giving away subs to, well, not like food, but subscriptions to our incredible premium products as well. And on top of which, we're giving you a lot of opportunities to get in early to that contest. So if you use the promo code FANTASYPROS, you get in $25 off your entry. And if you sign up by June 1st and complete your draft by the 15th, you get the $35 early bird credit. Again, this is FFPC's Fantasy Pros Championship for $1 million prize. It's going to be awesome. Play fantasy football, be a millionaire. Sounds good to me. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For D-Bro, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.